I'm Angelina Pagliaccio, and this is Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We are in the studio at North Campus today. It's April 30th. We're almost done with school, thankfully. And today I am with my professor.
Hi, everyone. It's Nora Baldner. I am an assistant professor of communication. And we are at the end of the semester, which makes me kind of sad, I will admit. Angelina, you cheered.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to cry over here.
Just kind of excited after that freshman kind of year.
Sure.
I'm like, it's easier than high school, but definitely still hard. Today, we're going to just talk about swimming, because from the last podcast that I did, I found out that, like, not anyone really, really truly knows anything about swimming until you start really talking about it, and they're like, whoa, stop, you gotta break it down just a little bit more, because there's like so many code words and just words in general that people don't know.
You know, the only time we know about swimming is during the Olympics.
Yeah.
Every 4 years we see someone swim really well and we cheer, and we don't really think of what went on to get there.
Yeah.
Or what actually is really happening with the team events, the individual events, that sort of thing.
Yeah, because especially leading up to like Olympics especially, or just any big meet for a swimmer, there is so much, because we go through these processes, especially just for practicing. It's like these 8 week by 8 week by like 8 week. So it's the first 8 weeks is just trying to get in shape. The next one, it's keeping that endurance and that what you got from that first 8 weeks, and keeping it, sustaining it, and just feeling good with your technique out of it all. And then the last one, that's just training. That's competition. That's go. But that's in club. In college, it's completely different. It's only by like 4 weeks, and you have meets every other weekend. There's not much to like lenience on it. So it's very, very go. And
you have a really long season too.
Yes,
right?
We do.
You cross both semesters.
Yes.
When do you start and when do you finish?
We started before, in about October. Yeah, about October. That's kind of where the peak of it is. Like, not peak, but that is where a lot of it is. November is so hectic because we have a week-long meet. That is our mid-season. That's the middle of our season right there. We have a week-long meet. It's out of town. It's usually in, it's at IUPUI, and we're going back next year, thankfully. But that meet shows you what you're going, like, it doesn't show you what you're going to do for conference, but that shows you a good judgment of where you're at and kind of, okay, my technique's here, my training is here. If I want to get better and I want to get my goal times, or if I didn't get my goal times, how I have to train for the next meet. And how I have to sustain that, because going back to like practice and stuff like that, we practice over, especially when I was back at club, I was practicing 20 hours a week. Like, it was Monday to Saturday. You get one day off only. Our coaches very stress that to us a lot. One day is all you need.
And do you, so when you're training like that, mm-hmm. is it all in the pool, or are you lifting weights?
Oh, yes. Well, it's, so swimmers call it, so we swim in the water for 2 hours. Then you get out of the water and you go do dry land. Dry land is either running, well, your coach will tell you, it's dry land is running outside, doing more broad jumps, just kind of more regular things you do outside instead of in a gym, instead of stagnant, just kind of lifting weights, heavy weights. So that's more of like running, throwing med balls outside. We do some weird exercises. I can't lie. Like, swimmers.
Well, the last podcast you said something about those big buckets.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Home Depot. What is that?
Okay, so the big buckets from Home Depot is, this is in the water. So it's in the water. You take the big, that's orange Home Depot bucket. At the top of it, you literally put just rope. Or it's usually that, like, thin kind of plasticky rope.
Okay.
And then you put that on there, and then you tie it to a belt. And you just lock yourself into it, throw it in the water, make sure there's water all the way in it, because your coach will definitely yell at you if there's not, and if it's not all the way underwater. And then you just go. That's the thing. Our sets, for one practice, in a two-hour practice, there is a main set, there's a preset, kick set, pull set, then a main set. The main set's where you just die. It's you should never conserve your energy for that, because it's acting like a meet. If you're completely tired at a meet, a five-day meet, prelim, final, morning, afternoon, you can't conserve anything, because you're trying to make top 16, top 24, depending on the meet. Because once again, at each meet, it's different. And whenever you're going to those meets, especially for competitions, they could just do A and B final. A and B final is top 8 or top. So it go 8 for the 8 for the first final, and then for the B final, it's the other 8. So it's 16. So maybe you're in that, but maybe you're not.
So what does AB mean? It's just a different list, or is it a ranking?
So AB final, it usually goes ABC. And so A is the fastest 8 kids you got. And you would think that, how do you think that they line you up? Do you think the outside lanes are the fastest, the middle lanes?
Well, I only know from the Olympics because Michael Phelps was always in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So your times
gradually
tell you
go in.
Which lane you're in.
Yes, yes.
And the fastest is in the middle.
Is in the middle. You always want to be in like lane 4 or 5.
Because why?
Because those are the fastest lanes. Oh, those are quote unquote. Okay. Swimmers also have this code word, like code languages, and it's like whenever we go to a pool, oh, this is a fast pool. It's a feeling of the pool. If it's cold, too cold, too hot, too much chlorine, not enough chlorine, saltwater pools do a lot for swimmers. It actually helps us a lot, lifts us up. It makes you feel like you're gliding on top of the water, because at IUPUI, it's not salt, quote unquote, but it's a different type of chlorine that it kind of assists, quote unquote, you.
So there's no NCAA regulation there as to the consistency or the whatever's in the pool?
So that's the thing. It's very funny to talk
like
about it. Yeah, yeah.
Everything
yeah.
you say, I'm going off yeah, on a different yeah. tangent. Sorry about that.
So off of like fast pools is just how you feel in it, because no water feels the same.
Okay.
And it, especially at different pools, the pool itself might be dark. The pool area might be dark. It might be too bright. You can't see. Because especially it depends on what stroke you do. I do freestyle and breaststroke. Breaststroke is where you, it's very odd to look at. It's kind of like you're a frog. You have to breathe every stroke. But I don't look up at the ceiling ever. Backstrokers have to make sure that the ceilings are what they like, because usually there's lines on the ceilings that they can like direct themselves to go on. But there's just certain qualities of a pool that all swimmers will be like, this is a great pool. But some people love one pool, and then some people hate the other pools.
So how's the QU pool?
Oh, the QU pool, especially for meets, we have an advantage. I'm like, the QU swimmers have huge advantage in that pool, because it's a shallow pool. Not a lot of college swimmers are used to that shallowness, because they're used to, I was not used to it. I came from a 16, 17 foot pool back home in Texas, and then coming to this, and I'm like, oh, okay, I have to fix my start, I have to fix my dive, my how I enter the water, how to quickly adjust into the water. And so it's very odd to like, so we get that like good advantage, because these kids are hitting the bottom of the pool whenever they're diving in, compared to us, how we can just instantly go, because we're practicing that.
So do you dive from the shallow end?
Not from the very shallow, but from the blocks, block sides.
But they're diving so far that they're hitting where the pool already starts to
come. Oh yeah, yes. Because for especially at the QU pool, the ramp to go back up to the shallow side is starting after the 15-meter mark. The 15-meter mark is the two red buoys. Okay. So these are called lane lines. The lane lines separate the each lane and where you're at. So the lane lines, they have individual buoys all on them, those circle things. The circle things are usually color-coded on what you have to see. And so there's usually two bright red buoys on each side, and that's five yards from the wall and 5 yards from the other side of the wall. But if you're diving in, that's 15 meters out. That is the farthest you can go underwater. Okay. In each race.
Okay, sure.
So if you go past that, that's a disqualification. Sure. Or a DQ. I'm like, there's a lot of small, small things about swimming that, like...
Okay, so we did... I got you off track.
Sorry.
Going back to lane selection.
Yes.
That's kind of where we left off. So you always kind of want to be in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
How many lanes are
there's
there?
Eight lanes, usually.
Okay, so you want 4 and 5.
You want 4 and 5, because y'all are usually racing it out for that, okay, like... first or second spot. But honestly, for sometimes those side people, like lane 1 or lane 8, can sneak up on you. I love to see that though, personally, because if these two kids are in the middle, they talk so much crap. I'm so sorry, but there's usually these big macho
talking.
Oh,
swimming?
My gosh, yes.
What?
Especially because, okay, you see these people all the time. You know who you're racing. You know whose times you're going against, especially in college and over here. You know who you want to race. You know who you're going to race. Times show. Times are very, they don't lie. They do not lie. So you be trash talking a little bit because, okay, I don't trash talk. My thing is more of, I'm going to get inside your head a little bit. I'm going to start talking to you and become your best friend, just throw you off your game, because I don't want to be rude. I like to be nice right before the block, but I look mean. I look mean, and then I'll be behind the block talking, good job, yeah, you got this. We'll see how fast we can go. Or, like, something like that, just to throw them off, to be like...
It sounds a little bit like tennis.
Oh, yeah.
Tennis is a real mental game, right?
Oh, yeah. Swimming is... It's so mental, because you have to be a little bit of an insane, because we're swimming so much, 2 times a day. You swim 2 times a day plus a lift sometimes. So you're swimming that 2 times. So morning and afternoon. Morning is usually 1.5 to 2 hours. Your afternoon practice is 2 hours, always. Always 2 hours, besides maybe for sprinters on like a Tuesday where we do buckets. But anyways, we'll go back to that. But it is so long, and you're just staring at a black line, or the side of a black line, because usually you're circle swimming. That's where, on one side of the lane, you see the black line and that T. One person is going along that one and coming back on the other side, and it's just constantly going in a circle. And so you're just constantly looking at just black line, bottom of the water, because if you move your head a little bit and you move your technique, it's not feeling right, like something's off, and then your coach yells at you, oh, your technique, why are you lifting your head, like all this stuff. But especially for, like, it's just a mental thing, because there's so many days where you don't want to get up. It's just like, I'm so sore, I can't feel my toes, everything in my body's cracking, like I'm getting up and my joints are just aching.
Don't you get all, like,
pruney? Oh, I don't get pruney anymore. That's the one good thing about this. It's so good because my fingers don't get pruney. I'll be in a pool for like 2 hours. No pruniness.
What? How? What happens?
Are you just
full of chlorine?
I mean, by that point, yeah. Like sometimes you can feel the chlorine like in you. Because like at a certain point, you just feel heavy in the water. But we have to like eat during practice. Like sometimes if you like, I know our distance kids, like Arya is from India. She, I'm just kind of like giving a little description of her, but she will fully eat during practice. Like you, not fully eat, but she'll eat a banana. She'll eat a bar, a protein bar, fruit snacks, just something to get that calories back. And that like just something. So your body, especially cramping, so much cramping, but like you have to keep going. I'm like, it's not where in the movies you're like, coach, I have to get out. No, get it, stay in the water, stretch it out in the water real fast, and keep going.
Wow.
Because especially during season, there's a, like, our mindsets are just like, okay, if I don't do this, then I'm probably not going to get this goal. Because time doesn't lie, ever. Time can't lie. So it's either you hit the mark or you don't. And it's, especially at practice, it's so repetitive. Just the motions. Not the sets. The sets are usually always different. So it's like, okay, this is going to be some good lingo. So usually, let's just say warm up, 200 freestyle, 100 kick, and then 100 pull. And the kick is just with the kickboard. Freestyle is just where your arms are like kind of spinning in front of you, like a windmill, and you're just kicking. And then pulling is where you put a pull buoy or a kickboard in between your legs, and you just pull. No legs, don't do anything besides legs. And warm up, you go slow as dirt. You go slow, you really think about your technique until we get to like something with an interval. So then we would go to a different set, and it'd be 10 50s on a minute. So you have to get 10, so you have to do 50s. So 50s are down and back. And I always tell people how to like look at swimming. It's like quarters. If you want to know what, like how many laps they're swimming, it's like quarters. So if they're swimming at 200, they're swimming 8 laps. I'm like, it's just breaking it down of how many laps they're doing. Because that's what I usually tell my, like, little kids, like, just starting swimming. Okay, so how many quarters are... It'd be, like, how many quarters are in a 200? Or, like, something like that. And they're like, oh, I know this one. It's just very fun to see.
Because the distance is 25.
It's 25, yeah. It's 25 yards. And, some people don't like 50-meter pools because it is longer. It's significantly longer, but... I like it because I don't like the walls. There's less walls and just less, I don't know.
And to clear up, you know, it's so funny. We've had this myth on campus here that our pool is not regulation. But it is, right? It's 25 yards.
It's 25 yards, but the regulation is more coming from, like, the stands, like, people not being able to really get around, like, regulation right. of, like, that.
And just shallowness.
Yes, yeah, shallowness and pool temperature. Because okay. our temperature goes up sometimes because of the water aerobics ladies. So,
well,
like...
let's talk about that. So, yes. So I was, as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, you're the only sport on camp. No, this isn't true. Let's think about this. You and tennis and wrestling, well, no, wrestling counts because they sometimes are in Pepsi Arena. You and tennis, correct me if I'm wrong, are the only sports on campus with their own space.
Yeah.
Because everyone else has to share fields or courts or...
Oh. Yeah.
Right? Because we've got lacrosse and football are together. Well, now soccer doesn't share either.
Yeah, soccer doesn't share either. Okay. They have their own little...
But you do share with some community classes. Yeah. And I know that because I remember when we had swimming and then it stopped and then we hit COVID and then we brought swimming back. But I can remember at the very beginning there was concern from groups of some older citizens in Quincy who come to the pool to do water aerobics.
Oh, yeah.
And as you can imagine, they like the water at a warm temperature, right?
Yeah, they really do.
And you guys, if you're working out 4 hours, you can't have...
No.
60, 70 degree water, right?
So the water for us has to be in a range. It's about, for Texas especially, it couldn't go anything above like 80, especially during the summer, because if it went above 80, then you're just cooking. You're literally cooking alive, it feels like. But usually the water should be at like 76. Okay. It shouldn't be too cold, too hot. But the other day, oh my, it was 90. It was 90 in the pool. It was almost hotter than the hot tub. And our coach was just going, and I was just like, bro, please.
It is too hot.
I'm like.
Is that because a class turned it up? Or?
It's because of that, and then just temperature change in general. Okay. Their pipes here or something just get so hot all of a sudden. Okay. And you're just like, whoa, okay. And then the arena, or I guess, quote unquote, the pool deck itself, it is so warm. It's muggy. It is very muggy. We sometimes we don't put on like the air conditioning, so it just gets muggy in there.
Steamy.
It's, yes, right. Very steamy. Right. The air is very thick. A lot of the swimmers are like, it's like pudding air today. Or it's like, we say types of air because you have to breathe differently in swimming. Like, you're not breathing at all, like, out of your nose. So you're constantly breathing out of your mouth. You're just eating air, kind of. And so it's just out of your mouth and then through your diaphragm completely. You have to think about how to breathe, where you're breathing, where that air is going, so you don't pretty much choke on water, throw up on that water, or just kind of get off-centered whenever you're rotating, whenever you're doing strokes especially. And, like, swimming nowadays, it's like, if you breathe in a 50, you're funny. That's not allowed. If you want to get these crazy times, like, right now for men's in short course yards, they're going 17s. They're going, like, 17s
mid. What does that mean? 17 seconds?
17 seconds.
For a 50?
For a 50, going down and back. My time, just to base it out, my time is a 25.
Okay.
And these college athletes, like, crazy college athletes, freshmen by this point, these freshmen, crazy this year. In fifth years.
Does height have anything to do with it?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So,
oh my gosh.
I mean, I would think if you're already
tall,
6 foot,
if, yeah,
something.
Okay, there's some people that just cannot move their bodies correct. So it's like Gumby kind of. So they're just kind of too stiff or too loose in the water. Which you have to have a good feeling. It's just, you have to feel the water and how you're pulling, how you have to be very cautious and conscious about what you're doing constantly. And then at the same time, especially for sprinters, you can't think at all during that 50. You have to rely on the training, rely on, like, everything you did during practice and during that season. Because if you don't and you think and you're like, I should breathe right here. No. And you're done. Just,
you know what I always like to say in coaching students who are doing voice work, mm-hmm. like yourself, or television work. And, you know, part of the process is if we're going to have a show, and we have our last show tomorrow for QUTV, and if we're going to have a show, I expect the anchors to be pre-reading their scripts out loud, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I will walk through the newsroom, and they'll be mumbling to themselves. And I walk past and I say, you know, practice makes permanent.
Yeah.
It doesn't make perfect. It makes permanent. So if you're mumbling in the newsroom reading your scripts, you're going to be mumbling on the set reading your scripts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you talk about you can't think when you're swimming, because when you're practicing, you're doing things so precisely that you're doing it so that it's permanent when you let your mind not.
Yes, yeah, so your
body
mind just
takes over.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, because behind the block, right before that race, you got to be locked in. You gotta think about what you're doing. This is when you're thinking. This is when you're thinking. You should be thinking like steps before this, but this is where you're like, okay, let's just go with 50 freestyle. Okay, we're doing a 50 freestyle. I can't breathe. I have this X amount of strokes to take. I have this many to get to the wall. Flip as hard, like, you got to flip in a certain way. Don't lift up your head. Keep your chin to your chest whenever you're flipping. Don't be too stiff in the water. Just relax. I close my eyes, personally. Okay, I'm also blind. I'm pretty blind. So I close my eyes. I preach about this. I rely on my stroke count. That's what all coaches do. I rely on that. It is engraved in my head by this point of how many gets me to one wall to the other. Because once again,
when you're swimming, you're counting?
Oh, yeah. Okay. You count each stroke. So every single time my hand moves, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you just go. Because I know exactly where I am in the water without having to see. Because that's another thing that, like, a lot of people don't know about. You have to know every little part of the water and where you're at, because you know when you're hitting the 15-meter mark or where you're about to come up. You know where that one level is because you know how many kicks you're taking underwater, where you're in streamline, like, just how much goes into swimming and the little details leading up to that, to literally a 25-second race. It is insane because all these swimmers are like, so that's why a lot of swimmers are very dedicated, time motivated, just very like, I'm a time person. Like, I know all my times, like all my PBs off my head.
What's a PB?
A PB is a personal best. So that's best. Yeah, it's just a personal best.
Not a PR.
No. Yeah, or it's just personal best. I don't know why. Best. Okay. But
you do have R's. You
yeah,
know,
yeah. Records, oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your
oh yeah.
Personal record or your team record or.
Yeah, that's why we kind of I think that's why we go with PB. PB is like I did my best for, or it's PB for the season, or because sometimes it's unrealistic to get that one time that you got maybe a year ago because it's so fast for right now, but because you aren't training for that stroke again. So maybe it's,
and you're not in the same pool.
Yeah.
That so, you were, it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's switching
that
each
all
pool.
Matters. Like the yeah. water matters, the temperature.
Oh yeah.
Matters.
Especially for like conference is moving again because they move every year for the pools. The pool last year was really, really, really nice. It was really nice. But once again, for 5 days, that air quality gets so bad. So by the end of day 6, day 5, at finals, prelims, you're just kind of like, the air quality, it's just pudding. It's like you can taste the chlorine. You can taste literally, you can taste the air, it feels like. And you're just kind of choking on it. Because I had pneumonia from the last one. A lot of kids had like strep, what else? It was strep.
It's just like kind of a big wet petri dish.
Yes. With,
you know, humid.
Over, okay, our team has 38 people. That, ours was the smallest team there. So mind you.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like 60 kids on another team, 70 on the other. So it's like so many people in this. It's not tiny, but pretty like
well,
close
crowded.
In space.
Sure.
And you're just breathing each other's air for so long. So if someone suddenly gets sick, everyone's getting sick. And so another reason why like swimmers swim so like it's so much training is because if you feel a little bit bad one day and you go to practice, you're like, okay, this is how I know that I can swim for this. I'm not saying go to practice when you're sick. Do not do that. Please, y'all, don't go to practice when you're sick because you're getting everyone else sick.
Yeah.
Because that was a lot of this year. That was a lot of swimming this year.
So let's back out of the details and let's go to like, you know, 50,000 feet.
Oh, yeah.
For people who don't know what a swim meet looks like.
Yeah.
So there's several teams at once.
Oh yeah,
couple teams.
It depends on what
against each other
meet we're going. Like we have duels,
okay.
So it's just us and another meet. We have sometimes three of the teams here, but usually it's a lot of people. Like at conference, it's everyone.
Okay,
and then at midseason, we swim against D1s at midseason. We go against Ball State. We go against IUPUI. We go against UT from Texas. So the green school. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's like we go against all of these different. We were only going against two other D2 schools. It was one was UMSL, and then the other one, I don't remember what the other one was, but we're going against these like crazy fast people. And keep it up, like our boys team, our men's team, whew, they are beating some D1 kids.
So this is So we have the GLVC League.
Yes, that is our conference.
That's your conference.
Yes.
And then, but you get to go to these other tournaments.
Yeah,
I mean,
we
get
invited. So
today.
We get
okay.
invites from coaches of being like, hey, we like, it's pretty much off of like spirit and just how your coach is connected. That's kind of what it really is because swimming
That's really how the world works.
Oh, yeah, it's just connections.
You know.
Good connections. Especially with swimming. If your coach does not know many people, you are not going to much. Like, you are not going to many meets at all.
Yeah.
And which is fine, but also, you're not getting exposed to a lot of people. You want to be exposed to new coaches, talking to other people, talking to other swimmers, just watching. But back to, like, meats in general. So how a meat is kind of like set up is really, so you go in the morning. This is, so let's say prelims finals. Prelims is in the morning. You're going at like 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, getting in the water by 8 more. The warm-up starts at 8, ends at maybe 10. You get about 2 hours, and it's just free. So you have to find a lane, find somewhere to swim, and it's chaos. There's so many people in the water. Try not to get drowned over someone. Just something like it, there's so many people at once. There's at least 9 to 8 kids, 10 people. It just really depends. Probably like 8 to 9 people in a lane just rotate, like going. And so you have to really be like, okay, I have to get my things done. If I have to run someone over, I'll run them over. So you kind of do. You pull, you kind of yank on the foot, yank them down, or you swim literally on top of them. You just kind of go. Yeah. We're ruthless. Like, we're.
And do people do that to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Especially when I was little. At little age group meets, I was getting drowned.
Oh, gee, that's but scary.
Even now, I'm like, yeah, even okay. Now, you, like, Drury, they run people over. Drury and William Jules, sorry to call them out, but those two teams will drown you. They do not care. If they're doing their warm-up, they are focused. They are dialed in. They will do their warm-up. If they have to run you over, so be it. I'm getting my time for the warm-up.
Is there just not enough time to say QU gets the pool now, and then 30 minutes later someone else gets the pool? There's just not enough time.
I mean,
right?
There's not really enough time. And also, if you do like time like that, so first group is the first 30 minutes in the water. Then that 30 minutes to the actual racing time, they have about 2 hours that they have to get back in the water, warm up again, and get ready for their race.
Oh, okay.
So you want to warm up, like, this is usually what I do. I warm up 30 minutes before my race. So I warm up, warming up all throughout that. And then when I look at the scoreboard, so the scoreboard is going heat by heat, and I look up, okay, I have about 5 heats before me. Okay, I'm going to get out now. And then I go over to the block. I'm still a little bit wet, so I grab towels. You'll see every swimmer. You see them bundled up. Yep. Like, especially in the Olympics, you see hoodie, hat, gloves sometimes. Definitely shoes, socks. If we're not warm, we can't feel the water. Like, if your fingertips are cold, if your toes are cold, you're not going to feel the water. So you're not going to go as fast as you want to go. So if your body's warm and it's, like, radiating a little bit of heat, perfect. Stick with that. You'll see me at meets with a big parka, hot hands, you know, the warmers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Got those in my pockets with my, like, for my hands. I have them in my Crocs. I have burnt holes in my Crocs.
Oh,
I can't
no.
lie. One almost caught on fire. Yeah, that was a fun experience because water and those don't mix sometimes. It's not the best combination. I can't lie. But those definitely burn a hole in them. I put those in my shoes if I'm wearing Crocs, if I can't wear my tennis shoes. Because usually I wear tennis shoes so that I just slip on and off. Socks are always on. I'm like, you can feel the body heat from like me from a little bit away. But you have to be warm before getting into that water. And so, but you also, this is the complicated thing about swimming. It's the swimming brain is just like, okay, I have this amount of time before I have to swim. Okay, so I have to get out. And if you're wearing a tech suits, I know you see them at the Olympics. It's from the knees above. It's those like weird looking swimsuits that kind of look like the wrestling, like leotards kind of.
Right.
Yeah, those are carbon fiber, or usually carbon fiber, and they repel any water that comes off of you. They take about like, okay, the fastest girl on our team can get it on in like 15 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah. So every girl's in the locker room for like 15 to 30 minutes. Trying to put it on because it's so small. It looks like a doll. So you know how you like hold up the little doll clothes? Like,
right?
Yeah, it's about maybe my thigh, like the size of my thigh. And you have to fit that on your whole body.
Can you put it on wet or dry?
Oh, if you put on wet, you have to dry off.
I remember my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
When, you know, we'd be in the pool and you'd either have to take them to the restroom.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I got to take this wetsuit off a wet kid and try to put it back on. It's impossible.
Right after warm up, you go get your towel. You got to get your towel, your shoes, headphones, phone, my glasses personally because, whew. And then you go in there with like your teammates. You're like, okay. Okay, you have to help your teammates too get into the suit. So you're like pulling them in out of the air, like all this stuff. Oh my gosh. One of my teammates, Megan, she takes the longest and not the longest. She doesn't take the longest. Megan Scheel, her hands get ripped up at her knuckles. And
because of the carbon fibers?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like skinned almost. So it's, oh, it's so bad. Like, I have scars on my fingers.
Do suits make that much of a difference?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Those take off, like, seconds. But it's also, see, this is the thing. This is my thing with it. It's definitely the suit, but also it's some mindset in the suit. Okay. I'm like, it's definitely the mindset.
Superhero stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like, oh, I'm wearing my tech suit, so I have to go fast. Like, I am going faster. Like, there's no, if I don't, then what was this for?
Right.
It's kind of like, oh, if I don't go fast in this time, then, oh, okay. Like, there's nothing really worth that.
Okay. So you said there were 5 heats in front of you.
Yes.
So I'm imagining this is like a track meet.
Yes.
So,
yeah. It's a lot like a track meet.
So if there's an event, and then it has inside of that event, we'll have different heats.
Yes. It has
based
heats
on your time.
Yes. It's all based on times. It usually goes from, especially during big competitions, slowest to fastest.
Okay.
The fastest is the last heat, going as fast as they can. Sometimes it's the other way around, though. Sometimes it's fastest first, they're going, but usually it's, you want to be in the last heat, lane 4, like, it'd be,
because you basically, you know you won if you beat everything that came before you.
Oh, yeah.
Correct? And then, okay, so then is there an order to the events?
Usually, yes, especially in high. Okay, this is high school swimming. Back to like high school, they had a certain event. They would not blink an eye. It's on each scoreboard. It's very to the T. And then you have diving. You have a certain break in between.
We don't have diving at Quincy University. But you go to meets where there is diving, correct?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yes. It's so fun to watch. Our coach, he hates divers just because it gets him points. So if we're at a dual meet, oh, my gosh. It's like cheating, quote, unquote. Because, like, we can't win a lot of our meets. Okay, this is, once again, quote, unquote, winning. Because you can't win a swim meet. Let's just put that out there right now. I love when people that don't swim come to us and go, did you win your meet? Technically, at a points-wise, yes, but it's an individual sport down to it. It's an individual sport until you do relays. Relays are where you swim a 50. This is just, so a 200 freestyle relay. You swim a 50, then you touch the wall. As soon as you touch that wall, the other person's in the water going for you. So it's 4 people in that relay, and those people are usually like the fastest 4. Fastest 4, biggest lineup. Like, we will be rotating through that so much throughout the season because our coach is going, he's putting in work, doing the times, like, okay, this person is this fast, okay, you have to go in here. So at every other meet, it's very different on what, leading up to like mid-season or conference, it's different arrangements. So one day you could be in an A relay, one day you can be in a B relay. I love the eight. Like, I love just being in relays.
I would think that would make like the meets kind of exciting and
fun. Oh, it is. Yes.
Things change up a little bit.
That's the one fun part, really, about, not one, but like, that is a really good fun part about swimming. It's like, okay, we're doing a relay. This is fun. Like, oh, like, you get to get kind of out of your head because you're going faster than what you go, like, for personal times. In a relay, everyone's going faster than their actual times because of the dive and just because
Well, you have adrenaline.
You're adrenaline. You're in a team. And you're excited. Like, this is the one team thing you're doing today. Right. Like, that is, okay, if she just went that time, I have to go this time, and I have to, like, go faster. But some people, like, crumble under that. That's another sure. reason why we have to, like, see who's best fit for it. And, like, you could be the fastest person, but in a relay, you could crumble under that pressure. Because some girls, it's starting off and being the anchor. I love being the anchor. I can't lie. I love it. It is my favorite thing. Being an anchor, it's like, oh, I'm the last one on the block. I have, like, the cockiness. It's really about, like, ego, I guess. It's, like, the confidence of, like, oh, you turn to your left and your right, and you're like, I'm gonna beat y'all. Like, it's, y'all are not winning. Or it's the, okay, I have to make up this amount of yards because these girls are in front of me. I can do that. I got that. Like, you have to have some type of, so I'm better than you in a way kind of mindset.
Awesome. So, Angelina, what's your best time? What's your PB?
It depends on what event. For the 50 free, it's a 24.8. And that was off of a relay. And then just for regular starts, it's 25.2. So I'm getting really close to that 24. I really want that 24 to 23 by the end of next season. Definitely think I can get it. I'm, like, really there, but those milliseconds in that 50 really count. So I have to really go back to the drawing board this summer, figure out if it's my dive, figure out if it's, like, this or that, and especially just figuring out small details again. And
so will you train all summer at home?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's so I'll be coaching and swimming all summer.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And okay. Then being in a bakery. That's about it.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Okay, that sounds like a different podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's a different podcast. Yeah.
We have to do that. Okay, so we are running up on time.
Yes.
I have one last question for you. Hopefully the answer is yes. Have you seen the movie Naiad?
What is that? No.
So it is Jodie Foster and Annette Bening, and for the life of me, I just thought of this, and I can't think of the first Naiad's first name, but this is the woman that swam from Cuba to Florida.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And this, the movie is, I want to think it's fairly new, like in the last year or two, I think. But because as you're describing this training and working and all this kind of stuff, the movie, I recommend it this summer for you to watch.
Yeah.
It's incredible what she goes through. At one point, she gets stung by jellyfish and all this kind of stuff. And it's just a fascinating movie about resilience and determination and goal setting.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
And it's all swimming. So
we love goal setting. We have my home club team, we had like weekly meetings. I have a journal of every single day and every single set of not how I felt, like personally, like feelings wise, physically in the water during that set. It's just a lot of mental. And you give I would give my journal to my coach every Friday. So he'd give it back to me on Saturday so I could write in for Saturday. So Oh my gosh, I have at least 20 books, like 20 notebooks just filled.
Are some descriptions? Like, are you writing down?
Yeah, you do.
Tired or?
Oh no, you have to. So in that set, you're like, okay, I lost my strength. I lost that power going into the third 50 out of five. Yeah. So it's very going into detail of where you lost that momentum, where your mental was at of, okay, I could have said I need to do better, but I was really like Debbie Downing on this set. And just showing your coach where you're at every single day and him reading over, seeing what he needs to change for next week, see what he can do better to talk to you. But that's also like crazy level coaching. I was very thankful to like he coached Olympians. He's from Brazil. Like, this man, he knows what he's talking about. Like, I get to coach under him now, and I get to learn everything from him because that's what I want to do. Like, I want to coach. I want to recruit. I want to be with the kids and just showing them that this is your sport. I want you to love it as much as you can and for as long as you can. I don't want you to hate it, but I'm definitely going to push you because that's what he did to me, and I just want to do that for others, especially.
And swimming is definitely a lifelong
sport. Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sadly.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Angelina, I'm going to let you wrap it up as we hit time here, but this has been fascinating, and I encouraged you to do another podcast because I learned
from the first
podcast you did about swimming, and I feel like we could do several more. So,
we'll
have to wait until next semester to do that, but we'll do a series or something like that.
And just bringing other swimmers, especially the international kids. I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you all for listening to Hawk Talk. I'm Angelina Pagliaccio, and this has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.